You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop here in the studio. Later on, we'll be reflecting on France losing at home against Germany. But we kick things off with England losing at Wembley against Brazil. There'll be just one goal in it in the end, and it would be the teenager Endrick to get his first ever goal for Brazil. What a time to make that achievement. Brazil in the end, though, winning 1-0. England, for more on this, let's welcome in show. Jan Agerfjordsoff, Julien Laurent, we're both watching this. We'll hear from them in a moment. But in the end, Craig, I think it's fair to say Brazil were good for their win.
Yep. And not, by far, not the strongest Brazilian side. And we were talking during the game, and I said, they don't really have that aura about them where you would fear them.
No.
You know, they don't, no. But yet England...
He talks about 1998, the opening game.
Well, and they're most fearsome.
Yes, that's exactly. What it was. It's a little back to him.
Well, no. Hold on. Let me set the record straight here, right? I mentioned they don't have the aura about them, and you brought up 98.
I don't remember that.
You said, unlike the team that you played against and others, I never mentioned it. Anyway, right? International Week, you... Me off already. So yeah, I mean, look, we talked about this. The only one of any vintage, really, you could argue, is Vinicius Junior. I mean, apart from that, it's kind of you would call.
Bento making his debut in goal.
Yeah,
his makeshift back four.
But, yeah, I think they were good for the win. Their chances were more clear cut, certainly in the first half. You saw a couple of those chances plus the goal in the second half. If you're asking, and if we're talking about England as well. I would describe their performance to me as dull.
Mm-hmm.
Just dull. And deficiencies at the back that we've always known are there and they're not going to go away. They're not going to go away before the Euros either, by the way. And he's going to probably pick Harry Maguire and his game time will be limited or whatever for Man United. But you have to feel sorry for some of these players. I feel sorry for Foden and Watkins in particular, but the front four in particular, because... You know, Ollie Watkins is maybe going up against Ivan Toney for potentially a place in the squad. Maybe he'll take both of them as well as Kane. I don't know. But how much supply did they get up to that front line today? How many really good crosses did they get in the box? How many great passes did they play down the channels? And what Southgate is doing for me and has done for a while, and although they've had some decent results, he's taken the excitement and the flair, to me, out of some of these more attacking players. Now, we saw Anthony Gordon go on one or two runs, and it was his debut, and blah, blah, blah. But Phil Foden's a guy that's been lighting the Premier League up, right? He's going to be playing, come rain or shine, in the summer if he's fit. And yet, somehow, England, at times, make him guarded. And that's down to the manager. And for me today, England were just... pedestrian, had a few plots.
Just explain that in a little more detail. How do they make him guarded?
Well, it doesn't seem to me as if there's the same flow and freedom that these players are allowed at their clubs. And I think that's something Southgate's been criticised for, even when they've had, if we call it success, getting to a Euro final, getting to a World Cup semi-final, ultimately been outplayed and got tactically beaten by Croatia, and then obviously they got beat by Italy and penalties. But it just seems to me that the one thing that Southgate's always been criticised about has been overcautious. And I look at these guys and I look at the flair they've got on the side, and I say to myself, is Southgate going to give England a platform that allows these super talented front players, and when Kane's fit he'll be back in, is he going to allow them to just go and flourish and do what they do?
Right.
Or is he going to be more worried about every other aspect of the game?
Well,
and I think that comes through in
it's the latter.
Yeah, but I saw this a little differently from Craig. And while I get the point that certainly England didn't create anywhere near enough opportunities against Brazil, in a home game or be it a friendly, My feeling around watching England under Gareth Southgate is far too defensive. That they have a bank of four, two defensive midfielders who don't go anywhere, and then you rely on a front three, which is usually Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford, on a counter-attack. And once that breaks down, drop deep into your half, just outside your own box, yet again. And that, for me, was frustrating, given the talent at Southgate's disposal. Though, in this game today, and while, yes, he didn't get enough out of Foden, there wasn't enough creativity in and around the box, England's first line, certainly possession, I thought was far higher up the park. You played Rice and Gallagher as the two defensive midfielders, and they naturally get forward, and you saw more attacking pros to England than I normally associate. Now, yes, they're missing a piece in terms of turning that starting line, finding that creativity in midfield to create chances, but it was nowhere near as pragmatic as I had become used to or I was expecting.
Oh, right. You set the bar low, maybe, Shane.
I'm not the one who set the bar low.
Yeah, and it's happening again, isn't it? England come up against half-decent opposition. They're rubbish.
Well, I could start by saying, like Craig, that's not like the Brazil team I scored my first international goal against, but I won't mention that. But what I did see at Wembley today, I'm with the boys that when you see Gareth Southgate's England, especially today, but they're winning a lot of games, we just won't take that away from them. It's a bit like lack of identity. You're not sure what they're doing. And if you play games like that, there were some bad defending there a couple of times. Maguire did mistakes at the back there. But I won't be that worried about that. I think when they come into the Euros, I think that kind of boring lack of identity kind of game that is at the moment, that will take him through the first rounds. Then it's all down to the individuals. How will the individuals perform when you get into the knockout stage? Remember, they were lacking some good players today, especially a Harry Kane. Yes, the Brazil team, a new kind of Brazil team, but I wouldn't be worried about England. The only thing I would be worried about, how will they do defensively? Because I think that way that Southgate is playing them, he's not there for entertainment, he's there to take them further. And we have to stop all this moaning about Gareth Southgate. I think Craig just preparing himself for Gareth Southgate being the Manchester United manager, by the way. But I think that we have to think of what do you need to get further in the tournaments. And I think then you will hope that one of the individual great players that England got, that they will have a great championship.
Yeah, and that's very positive.
Yeah, it is positive, because I think that we are so easy to say, yeah, let's get a coach that play entertaining, let's go forward, let's just go for it.
They just lost against Brazil, who have been terrible.
They lost against Brazil in a game that wasn't, by the way, it was a good friendly. It was quite intense, especially the first half. Brazil was creating chances, but also making a lot of free kicks. So I wouldn't be worried at all if I was England. I think England will do brilliant in the championship.
Wow. All right. Jules, are you as optimistic after that?
Not really. Right. Not quite. I mean, you know I'm not Southgate's biggest fan. I've had enough of him for a very long time now. And tonight I'm watching this game and I just don't see anything. And I know Saka is not there and Kane is not there, and they're two very important players. But to go along with what Craig was saying about Phil Foden, for example, let's just take Phil Foden as an example. For me, what Southgate is not good at doing, which is a big problem for me. Because I can understand what Jan is saying. Let's stay positive. They still have so much talent. They can do very well at the Euros. It's not all on this game. But take Foden just as an example. Maybe the best player one of the best players in the Premier League right now. One of the top three in the Premier League right now in terms of form, right? He plays 90 minutes tonight. Do you know how many times he touched the ball in the Brazil box? Zero. Zero in 90 minutes. Playing right winger and number 10. He never touched the ball in the opposition box. So one of your best players, maybe tonight your most informed player, is kept away from the box, away from where you want him to be, in the danger area, the whole game. So there's no way he can influence the game. He can be decisive. There's just nothing. So how can you, a manager, and you look at your team, and I really hope Southgate, we look at it and say, okay, this is wrong. We did something clearly wrong here to not put Foden in a position where he can actually influence the game, seeing how good he is and how in great form he's been so far. And I just, yeah, of course you see Rice and Bellingham and But you just don't see anything that is actually improving with the ball attacking wise for this team. Never, but it was the same the last two games in November. I remember being on the show, we said the same thing. It's too pedestrian. There's no rhythm. There's no patterns of play. There's just nothing. And they're not ruthless enough. All of that. Today, they could have lost 3-0 easily. It could have been 3 or 4 easily. And yeah, it's just one. It's a late goal by Hendrick. So we're going to say, okay, it's nothing. I think it's quite worrying, actually.
I think that was the other part of the problem is wasn't just the lack of getting those players. I mean, how many times did a ball fizz across the box and Ollie Watkins almost get in there and you thought, well, he almost... Yeah. I don't remember at all. And there's a guy that loves to attack the ball in the box for the reasons we've all mentioned and Jules just touched on. But you know, it's not just that. It's the worrying that... It's worrisome for England and Southgate how easily they got opened up on the counter-attack. And I think performances like this, although it's England-Brazil and, you know, it's on paper it's a close game, 1-0, as Jules said, it could have been 2 or 3, maybe more. I think this is the kind of performance that sends Southgate back into his worrisome double pivot midfield. Jordan Henderson, are you fit again? I need you to come in because, you know, Declan Rice in there is not going to be enough. And if Conor Gallagher's going to try and support, you know, if Declan Rice is going to have to... I think he's worried about Declan Rice having to cover all this ground and make up for the deficiencies of the defence.
Right.
And I think that's why he becomes super cautious and he thinks, right, I need to get somebody else in there. You know, we go back to the cautious side of it. Even before the game, to me, only bringing Kobe Mino in at the last minute because there was an injury to Bukayo Saka,
yeah, but...
only bringing him in because of that tells you that he should have been in the squad even before the great performance at Old Trafford against Liverpool. He's done enough this season to say, you know, it's a friendly. Why don't you see what Jordan Henderson can do? I don't know what we see what Conor Gallagher can do. You know, but you come in here and I'll give you a little taste of being amongst the full squad. And yes, he got his debut, but he was going to be playing for the under-21s up until people withdrew from the team.
But if there is one thing that Gareth Southgate has done well, is to get the young players into an international stage. So that Mainoo, yes, I understand. We love him. We love to see him. But he's like 12, isn't he? So that put him in an under-21.
Well, he's
to get
18,
him in
and
there,
the guy that scored the goal for Brazil was 17.
Absolutely, Craig. I'm with you on that one. We discussed this player now. And Gareth Southgate has done well at doing that. So that won't be the biggest problem. And who can go to the Euros anyway. So I don't think that is the toughest decision Gareth Southgate had to do.
How has he done well at doing that? He couldn't help but pick the Bukayo Sakas, the Phil Fodens, all the, you know, Jude Bellingham.
So
he couldn't
so
help
he can never
but
win
them.
So he could never win them because and that's all that I remember. Some England managers with a high profile name who were knocked out very early in all championship, and so he had to pick Beckham, he had to pick Scholes, he had to pick everybody. So that is the attitude to them. So a national coach can only pick them. So whatever the national coach do, then you have to find same way of the arguments here, Craig.
This is the same argument, same discussion we have every time. Right. Is plodding through a tournament, and by the way, this is factual, the tournaments that they've done well in, the pathway has been relatively easy. Yeah, in the Euros, I think they did put Germany out. Wasn't the strongest Germany. But the pathway wasn't always the toughest. I think they were a little unlucky in the World Cup against France, if truth be told. Played well.
Yep.
Kane misses the penalty. Is what it is. But we have the constant discussion. This is one of the most exciting going forward group of young English players. And is he holding them back? Or is he the problem? Or is he part of the problem?
So in 1982, England had a great team. He was held back from the national coach. When the golden generation was playing, they were held back by all kind of managers. Today, we are saying a big thank you to Liverpool, how they treated Sven-Göran Eriksson, by the way. So he was holding back the golden generation in England, Craig? It's only Sir Ralph Ramsey who didn't hold back their players?
I'm going to move on from England because I want to talk about Brazil a little bit, Jules. Obviously, they are in turmoil. Ancelotti turned their back on him. Dorival Jr. seemed like a fifth or sixth pick. Yet, he goes to Wembley, gets a result, and it's a nice way to kick off, I suppose, what is inevitably going to be a transition time now for Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, he said before the game that it was going to be the greatest night of his life. I think that's what he said, to take charge of his country for the first time ever. I don't think that he ever thought that he could be in that position. And maybe he benefited from, as you said, the environment, Carlos saying no, the managers before not working out. But to be fair, tonight with a B team, let's put it that way, or certainly a makeshift defence, a number three goalkeeper, if not maybe even number four. Yeah, you still had Paqueta and Bruno Guimarães and the front three, that was obviously outstanding. But to do that with all the injuries that he had, I thought was really good. Yeah, they're not perfect yet. Yes, it's his first time. He had an extended squad at his disposal, but I thought they did well. And we said they could have won by more. They deserve to win 100%. Hendrik's goal is obviously a very special moment, but so is this first win for Dorival Jr. And let's not forget, three defeats in the last three games, four games in a row without a win, because before that it was a draw as well. And for, like you said, Dan, a very important few months now to the Copa America, to watch an Olympic game without Brazil, by the way. So it's not just even the A team, the under 21 or 23 didn't do well, were knocked out by Argentina at the Olympic tournament. So they're not even going to be in Paris, where it's a tournament where they used to win as well. So it was very important tonight, I think, to start the Dorival Juniors era with a good performance and a good win like this, to get a bit of momentum going. They will play Spain next week, we'll see what happens. A Spain team that was not really good against Colombia yesterday. So it'd be very interesting.
What was interesting, just before we went on air, Jules, you were saying if you were Real Madrid, you wouldn't bother spending all this money on Mbappe and just groom Hendrik to be the superstar.
Who needs Mbappe?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. What a moment, exactly. For a 17-year-old to do this, to get your first goal for Brazil, incredible. In this manner.
Yeah, and we said he should have scored even a second and had a brace in that game because a chance at the end, really, a quality player like him should have scored it. Anyway, that goal, a very opportunistic one, because Vini takes the shot, Pickford makes the save, and then Hendrik is in the right position. The ball falls to him perfectly. Not sure he will have many more easy goals like that at this level, but very important. You saw how much that meant to him, of course. I mean, he's a prodigy. He's so mature for his age already. I think all Real Madrid fans and people in Europe can be very excited that he's coming soon to Europe and see his development. I don't think we should get too carried away either, but tonight, by the goal, it will take him some time to adapt to Europe. We see, you know, Vitor Roque, for example, at Barcelona. Those young players, even when Vinicius and Rodrigo arrived to Europe, it took them a bit of time. So he won't hit the ground running straight away, but certainly the qualities that he showed in Brazil and a little bit tonight as well look pretty outstanding.
It's every Brazilian boy's dream, isn't it?
It's not bad, is it? Would you say...
No, I'm tongue-in-cheek. You know, scoring in the debut. Was it his debut?
No, it was his first goal.
17 at the Mecca. At the Mecca of football, Wembley. Every Brazilian young boy.
What do you mean Wembley is a Mecca, surely?
The Mecca, 3-1 England to win the Euros. Who makes this stuff up?
Well, the bookies do, because obviously they're
Well, the bookies are making it up.
Can I just have one more word? Because you said to me when you saw Hendrik, he's not shy, is he? Like, for a 17-year-old, he just seems...
He'd fit in well here, wouldn't he?
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, he's obviously a long way to go, but there was an exquisite back heel he tried. It was a pass, actually, that was a 15-20-yard pass, but he tried to back heel it to put, I think it was Vinicius Jr. through. He has, like a lot of these young kids these days, sublime confidence in his own ability. That's no guarantee where he's going to end up at the end of his career, but I'm always just amazed at the physicality of the youngsters these days coming in to play not only club football, but international football, and also the confidence and swagger that some of these youngsters come in with. It, 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 it's quite something.
Yeah, it really is, and it's good to see. And it's kind of turning the page now from Neymar, like moving on clearly, yeah. Which they have to do if they're going to go forward.
Well, absolutely, you have to. And of course, Neymar's injury kind of forces that. I think it's a little overdue, and you need another talented to come through. And I think Endrick is showing that. And again, I'm going to echo everybody and just kind of applaud the maturity that he shows, just in little things that he does on the park, even in just keeping himself onside for the goal. You could get yourself a little bit carried away there. But, you know, I have been very critical of Neymar, particularly with this Brazil national team, because I feel that so much of the team kind of panders to him. And I feel some of his theatrics takes away from the natural flow to the Brazil game. So it'll be really interesting to see how this team continues to progress, not just with Endrick coming in, but more to the point, Neymar being out.
Do you want to talk us through your goal against Brazil, Jan?
Yeah, great cross. I turned around like on a £1 coin, turn it in. 1-0, 1988. I mean, what a beautiful day in my football life.
Oh, beautiful, yeah. Turn around on £1 coin.
What kind of Norwegian beers he been on tonight?
It's all that cross skis on the skiing before. That did him in, didn't it?
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
A surprise in France. Julian Nagelsmann's Germany, of course, struggling of late. However, it'll be a 2-0 victory to the visitors, thoroughly deserved. Freeman Wirtz scoring after just 7 seconds. Kai Havertz making it 2-0 early into the second half. A big statement win for Germany. As promised, let's welcome in Frank Leboeuf, shall we? Frank, what on earth happened?
I would say that in French. Horrible. Terrible. That was a catastrophe. We saw nothing.
That's,
I mean,
terrible catastrophe.
I was so appalled about. Yeah. Come on, that was easy, Craig. that's something not. Yes, of course, I wasn't expecting to see. So, of course, Didier Deschamps will have the excuse of Griezmann not being there. The guy has played 84 games in a row for the national team, and the first game is not there. France is losing. But. First, congrats to the Germans. I mean, maybe the game was playing their own pace, but they did what they had to do. And in the middle of the park, if you add on also Wirtz, the Leverkusen player, you know, with the four in the middle, with Musiala, Kroos, Anrich, and I forgot the other one, Gundogan, of course. They've been absolutely fantastic, and the counter-pressing that they made was perfect. So, German side, nothing to say. But France, we saw nothing. In the, defensively, Upamecano and Pavard had so much problems working on that. If Samba is not in the goal, it's maybe 4-0, and easily 4-0. So we saw nothing at front, except Dembele in the first half a little bit. Otherwise, nobody existed really in the middle of the park. I can't even say they didn't exist at all. So let's say it's an accident. It's only today a yellow card.
Wow.
That's it.
Just come prepared.
Let's see how it goes. Oh, yeah.
Where's
I prepared everything. I had 20 minutes to prepare. Yeah, no, that's a yellow. But I don't know. Maybe you don't have the right color. But the yeah, that was a non-game. Let's say it's an accident. Let's say that I still think the France is the favorites with England. But, well, they will have to prove to the fans that they can play a better football and very, very soon.
Jules, was this just typical French arrogance? Thought you could just turn up and beat a struggling German side?
No, I don't think so. I hope, in a way, me and Frank would like that. We'd like to be just the arrogance, because you can sort that out easily. You know, you just say to the boys, you can't take anything for granted at level. I think the problem is, unfortunately, a bit more serious than just arrogance or overconfidence, things like that, because when you consider a goal after 7 seconds, I think it makes life obviously very difficult for you. It's a bit of a cliche, but it's normal. When you go one goal down, and Germany, especially in the first 15 minutes of that first half, were outstanding with the ball especially. Then France were better, they were more aggressive, they won the duel, the second ball, and we created a few half chances where maybe Dembélé, Thuram and Kylian could have done a little bit better. But then at the start of the second half, you concede again, and then the second half, you're just blown like completely apart by this Germany time. Kroos, Wirtz, Musiala just toying with us, playing with us the whole time. It was embarrassing at times, and there was no reaction. Even the players coming off the bench had no reaction. Giroud, Fofana, Theo, nothing. We saw nothing either from the guys coming on, really. So that's a little bit worrying. There were players missing, of course, and Griezmann is the main one. But I was very, very and pleasantly surprised by the reaction that Germany showed. And it's not just Kroos being back. I think when you can play with Musiala and Havertz like that, and Havertz and Wirtz like that, it's pretty, pretty good, to be fair. And I think Nagelsmann definitely found something.
How will this result change the narrative of Germany going into the tournament, which, of course, they're hosting, Jan?
I will say in German, sehr gut, klasse, ausgezeichnet. I will follow Frank.
Oh, Derek's on the phone, you mispronounced that.
I will, but fantastic. I mean, there have been times that Germany has been embarrassed that they're going to host the Euros, because I think the national team has been so very, very bad. And of course, that start today, it reminds me a bit of American football when they just turned it around, gave it to the quarterback, Toni Kroos, played it into Wirtz, bang, 1-0 for Germany. And also the second goal, Florian Wirtz over to Musiala to Havertz. And it's quite interesting now that these three musketeers will play a major, major role there, because there was a big discussion, will he play with a typical number 9 in Füllkrug, or will he put Havertz there? But to your question, Dan, I mean, this means so much to them. Give them confidence back. The confidence of German football lately has been terrible. I mean, they nobody wanted to coach that team. They found Nagelsmann, and then I think that Nagelsmann said in an interview, maybe I decide where I go before the Euros, and now they're talking a bit about him as a saviour who will stay there for another 40 years as a national coach. A massive, massive game for Germany, beating one of the favourites at home in Paris. Unbelievable. Ausgezeichnet wieder.
Ah, yes.
Yes, all right. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Sorry?
Interpret.
What?
It means get it up your
head. Craig, talk us through the first goal. You said you felt this was planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just take us through how you see it.
Well, I need to see it again.
There it is.
So you got what you got. I think you got Havertz sprinting to the corner there, making a run down the left-hand channel, and Wirtz coming inside. Whoever it was, I don't know. It was definitely Wirtz going though. You see the run there?
Yes, yeah.
So one going outside, one coming inside, dragging France around. They're sleeping. It's early on. You're not really waking up. You're thinking there's a kickoff. They're going to go back the way.
Right.
You know, there's not going to be any threat. And all of a sudden, it is like a pre-planned move where they've had a look at it and think, right, they're going to be switched off, which they were. You know, you make a nice big diagonal run towards the right back. Wirtz spins inside. Clips a nice ball into him, great touch, bang, 1-0 behind. I mean, you've got to get, it's a bit like a set piece, it's a bit like a corner kick. We saw it,
yep.
Man City the other day, a week or so ago against Liverpool. Pre-planned, Liverpool sleeping, got caught out. And I think France got caught out there for sure with that pre-planned move. Now, it's good to get caught out now. It's a friendly. Don't get caught out of the Euros, it's a simple thing. You know, you don't get beaten twice making the same mistake. But
similar to the England conversation, if Nagelsmann can find a platform, not with Chris back and Andrich in there as a bit of a guy who does all the water carrying and gets the tackles in, if you can somehow find a way to get Musiala and Florian Wirtz in this side, operating with the freedom that they do for Bayern Munich and more so for Leverkusen, and that doesn't detract from your defensive shape in the game, then that's a huge plus.
And this was a beautiful move.
That's a huge plus.
It really was. Look at the run from Musiala and dictates where the ball needs to go, and Florian Wirtz just puts it perfectly. The timing of it, everything, and then, as Craig said, Musiala in close quarters is just so good with the ball at his feet. Knows exactly where Havertz is. Goes around the goalkeeper here, and then doesn't really have an eye for goal. Knows Havertz is coming in. Easy finish.
I mean, if you've got Toni Kroos on your side, and you've got Ilkay Gundogan on your side in the midfield, and you get Musiala, and you got Florian Wirtz, and then you got Kai Havertz upside, up front or floating around, you absolutely need somebody in the middle of the park that's got power, it's got physicality, and has got aggression. Because, you know, Gundogan's not that kind of player, obviously, and Toni Kroos, who plays a little deeper, has never been that type of player, and he certainly isn't now in his 30s. Many, many other magnificent facets to his game. So it's about balance. Mm. And the balance of the German team, even defensively, under the previous managers and Hansi Flick and Jurgen Löw, defensively they were a shambles. You know, how many back fours have they had in the last 3 or 4 years, and have they tried? And they've all been, most of the time, been terrible. So almost every facet of the team has been struggling, and it's been about balance. And now at least they've got players playing well for their clubs, most of them. The balance looks a bit better. Yes, it's a friendly, and I get all that. But you have to take the positives. You're playing France, you're away from home, and as Jill said, I think, in the second half, it was embarrassing for the French at times how the German football just cut them open.
Why was it so easy for the Germans, Jules?
It's a good question. I think in midfield, especially, not just the Griezmann not being there, I thought Tchouaméni was lost completely. Rabiot, who just coming back from an injury, looked, to be fair, not really fully match fit, and certainly didn't have the rhythm to be able to play when Gundogan is there. And the thing about Wirtz and Musiala as well is they are so clever players. They play between the lines, so it's difficult. At times, it's the right back and the left back that can go on them, but sometimes it has to be the two of your three midfielders. And the fact that I don't think Rabiot, Tchouaméni and Zaïre Emery, I thought Zaïre Emery had a bit of an impact in the first half in terms of being aggressive, recovering the ball. He was the one who was, of the three French midfielders, Tchouaméni and Rabiot and him, for me, it was the most switched on. The other two, it was just enough there for them. And I think when you lose that battle there with Kroos, for Kroos at times, it was just like he was dictating the pace of the game so easily, especially in that second half. There was just no challenge on him. We could not get close to him. That's where we lost it. And then, I love Didier Deschamps, as you know. And tonight was his 150th game for the national team. Incredible achievement.
What do you mean you love him? Every time France play, you have a go at his tactics, yeah.
No. Let me finish. I love him as a guy and for everything that he's done for French football. Tonight, I know Konaté was not fully fit, but to bring Pavard as centre-back next to Upamecano, who's not starting for Bayern anymore, who's going through like a really difficult patch where he's lost confidence. And you could see tonight that he doesn't have much confidence. And then you put Pavard next to him, who's never really played with him as a centre-back. Pavard used to be the right-back for France for many, many games. I'm just not sure that was the most wise idea that Deschamps had tonight. Even on the left-hand side, to have Lucas Hernandez instead of his brother, I'm not really sure. So I think, overall, from Deschamps to a lot of those starting players, it was just enough there.
Who disappointed you the most today, Frank?
Didier Deschamps.
Oh, no.
Because he...
No,
it's not that. I know Didier is a hard worker and maybe try to test some players. But if you have Rabiot injured, why don't you, put somebody else? I mean, he just come back from injury, Rabiot. He's already, you play a national team game. Why do you want him to come back? I mean, he's not you know, second division or League Two game. It's an international game, even if it's a friendly. You know that you play against Germany. You know that you play, if you play slowly, Kroos and Gundogan is going to kill you because technically they're very good. You have to put the pressure, and Craig mentioned that before. You put the pressure on them, it's going to be totally different because they don't know or they cannot defend anymore. And you put somebody who just come back from injury, you try two center backs who are not ready to play together, you play a left back instead of another one. I mean, it's against Germany. It's 3 or 4 months before the Euro. We are not testing anything. We are confirming. We have to confirm something. This is why I'm very sad about that result, because I didn't see what I wanted to see. Again, it's an accident, and I really think that I never thought that Griezmann in the middle of the park was missing a lot. I never thought that his influence was so strong for the national team.
Nobody's mentioned a certain guy today.
Oh, which guy? Mbappe?
Yeah.
But you hate it when people bring up Mbappe. Now you've brought him up.
But Jules and Frank being friends, I've just talked about the French team for, I'm going to say, 15 minutes or so.
Right.
We've had this discussion.
Yes.
And all these French problems, but nobody's talked about his influence or lack of it in the game.
Why don't you ask them?
It's not my job to ask anybody.
Well, you see, he hates
talking about Mbappe.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't ask.
Mbappe, and I'll bring him up.
Who brought him up?
I'll bring him up towards the end of the... What was wrong with Mbappe today, Jules?
I don't know. I thought he tried. It was a really good matchup with Kimmich, who is back at right back, where he, for club and country now as well, where he didn't really want to play ever again. I thought that matchup was great. And at times, Kylian, I think, made the difference. The cross was just the final pass, the final cross, or his shooting. There's one chance in the first half on the cross by Dembele where he controls the ball and hits it like half volley and he goes wide, where he should have done better. It was not all bad, but it's true that in a game like this, when he's also your captain as well, obviously, when yesterday, for example, in the press conference, when we asked him, do you feel a little bit like, no, we said, I think we used the word unsettled by all the thing about Real Madrid and PSG and all of that. He said, have you seen my last games? Do I look unsettled? Which is true. He didn't look. He's been amazing with PSG the last game. But tonight, it was not good enough from him. And not just maybe scoring or assisting, more the leadership of your team is struggling and yet you have to carry and to pull it out. And I never felt really that he was the guy for that tonight.
I wasn't going to bring this up. But as Craig has brought Kylian Mbappe into the conversation, just a word on these ongoing talks with Real Madrid and the Olympics might be a problem. You wrote about this, Jules. Just explain what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, he repeated to us yesterday that he still wants to go, that nobody has told him that he was not going. And then when we asked him the question again, he said, well, when I say nobody, I mean PSG, of course, because I'm still under contract. Well, we all know, and he also knows, that PSG are not going to decide if he goes to the Olympics or not. Real Madrid are going to decide that. And Real Madrid, we've learned this week that they've sent an email to the French Federation last month saying, we just make it clear, none of our French players, they didn't name anyone, but none of our French players will be made available by us for the Olympics. So forget about all the French players that we have. So forget about Mendy, Tchouaméni, Camavinga, obviously Mbappé, because he will go there. So, but Kylian said, like, you know, until somebody tells me that I'm not going, then I will keep hoping that I'm going. And I think Thierry Henry as well will keep trying to convince Real Madrid, especially, to let him go to the Olympics. But again, it's a problem because the Olympics are not FIFA dates. So it's down to the club if they want to release their players. So that goes for Mbappe and Real Madrid, but it could go for any English club, Spanish club, Italian club, French club, whoever. If they don't want to release their players, they won't release them, and France will have to do, and other countries will have to do without them.
Your fault.
I think we are talking a lot about the losing team now. I just want to be a bit compliment to Julian Nagelsmann because Julian Nagelsmann made some great decisions before this game. He said definitely that he will put Kimmich on the right back. He put Kroos back, and he's starting with saying that I want to have Wirtz and Musiala around the team, and then the consequence is the players I pick in. pick because Goretzka is out. So very good point from Craig there with Andrić. That is the guy you need. Just imagine this film when you're doing this great robbery. You need that man. You're missing. You can't only have Brad Pitt and George Clooney. You need Andrić as well when you're doing a big robbery. And Julian Nagelsmann has understood that.
Wow.
Well, the haircut, I'm not sure, because the haircut and the beard, he's going to be an easy pick out.
It's quite scary, though.
Isn't he?
In the lineup,
yeah, he's an easy but I don't want him.
I don't think so. Jan, obviously now it's getting two wins in a row for Germany against the Dutch on Tuesday. This has added a more intriguing element to that.
Well, probably if you know the German team lately, they would probably lose now against
Holland.
Oh, but
Jan, you'd be more positive.
I am very positive, but I can't overestimate how important this win was, whatever happens now, because the German football, I mean, we know German football, we grew up, some of us are in the same generation here, at least one or two, that we knew how big a football nation they are. They've been terrible at the last tournaments, and now they're hosting them at themselves. It's like they're so worried. Rudi Völler was sitting in the stands there. They're putting everybody back in now to try to sort out this national team, and this win, vital, vital, vital for them.
Thank you very much, Jan. Stay with us for extra time. Jules, we'll let you go. Thank you very much. Frank will be with us as well for extra time. But if you want to hear more from Jules, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That's available to download now. As promised, then extra time, we'll see Frank and Jan return. This was yesterday. This was Ian's dirt in the eye story.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah. It looks as if he's made a full recovery.
Yeah, he's much better now. He's all right.
Oh, bless him.
Good. It wasn't pleasant.
Oh.
No, not at all. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Meanwhile, Liverpool fans not happy, by the way, as it was released today what is going to be going on in their fixtures between now and the end of the season. Just a reminder, as it stands, they're level on points with Arsenal, but it's a congested fixture list, of course, with their involvement in the Europa League and the FA Cup. FA Cup. They're out of that. Manchester United sorted them out. But it's these games that they have here at Atalanta, at Fulham, at Everton, at West Ham. You take a look at that. That is three away games in a six-day period. And, of course, the token 7:30 kickoff on Saturday.
Away. You know, Everton's a Merseyside derby. I mean, travel's not an issue for that. But yeah. when are fans ever happy?
I don't know. They should follow your view of life.
Correct.
Which is what?
Listen, this kind of fixture list, you just have to take it on the chin.
Yeah. Right,
and get on with it.
Yep.
So, I don't know, you know, supporters are always, they're never happy unless everything's falling exactly on the lap, are they? Let's be honest about it.
Shaka, what would you like to add to this?
I'm with Craig on this. That's the price of success, and just as well they altered the FA Cup because it would have been even more congested. But that's
saying, so, it's good.
So if they had three home,
I'm just saying, otherwise they'd be complaining even more.
So if they had three home games in a row, would that be unfair on the rest then, or would you know,
don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying. There it is. There's
it. We're shooting the messenger.
This deserves one of my favourite phrases.
All right.
I don't care.
Okay. Meanwhile, we do care about those FA Cup semi-finals, which are coming up, of course, next month. Some intriguing ties, both, of course, at Wembley. You've got Coventry in action against Manchester United and Manchester City against Chelsea. Those games over the Saturday and the Sunday, they'll be live on ESPN+.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Plenty to discuss for Football Americas, of course, with the U.S. in action in the Nations League. Be sure to join Seb and Herc here on ESPN+. Meanwhile, who knows what's going on tomorrow. We will be here, though, live for you at 5. If you're watching on ESPN+, be sure to join us. That is it. Frank and Jan standing by to answer your questions. Yep. Craig here as well, along with Shaka.
That's right.
Stay with us. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your question. I feel like you're in a sauna, Jan. Where are you?
I'm at my cottage at Lillehammer. I've been cross-country skiing today, so I'm in top shape.
Oh, beautiful. Why does Lillehammer ring a bell? Was there an Olympics there?
No, there was there's a
Olympics, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, 1994.
Is there not a program?
Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding.
Ah, yeah, it was a program.
Yeah, is there not a murder mystery series?
Lillehammer. Lillehammer, yeah, of course. That was a mystery. That is a great series.
Yeah,
you have to see
it. Yeah.
Oh, so how, he associates it with Olympics, you associate it with murder.
That's right.
or murder. Well, I don't like the Olympics. not that I like murder, you know. But
murder Winter Olympics.
To be honest, I can take it or leave it, I'll be honest.
Frank, you weren't involved in our England discussion.
Why does he always do that? Why do people always do that to Frank?
What do you mean?
He comes on, he's all set up before the show starts.
Yes.
Not all the time.
Right.
He's all set up, so he's there in time.
Yep.
All the rigmarole done.
Right.
And then he has to sit listening to Waffle.
Well, because obviously his focus is very much France today, and we started off with England.
There we go. That just wouldn't work.
No, wouldn't work. Well, there we go. I speak on you. But you like it, Frank, don't you?
Patience of a saint.
Yeah, Frank. Frank is a saint.
I follow the guys. I'm always interested about what you're saying, guys.
You
and I didn't have the chance to watch the England against Brazil. So no. Craig. I'm always very interested about what you have to say and see your happiness. You know, in the studio makes me being happy too.
There you are. Oh, see, yeah. Positive.
That's right.
Yes.
Pick on me, Dave.
Frank, why? Oh,
who's picking on you?
Frank, why are England always so overhyped? Yet no one knows what they're even trying to do on the pitch in these big games. Their only chances come from set pieces.
I don't know what to answer to that. You explain everything during the show. about what's going on with England. I didn't watch the game, so I can't really talk about it.
No, fine. Don't worry, Frank. That's all right. Don't worry. We can move on. We've got lots of questions.
We didn't watch the French game because your computer was buffering, because you've had to bring your computer in because the TVs are still not working.
Yes, indeed.
And it's a gigantic, humongous pain in the rear.
Right.
So that was our excuse for not watching most of the French game.
Yeah, there was a lot of buffering. I was trying.
But have to be said then, Dan, we discussed this on the show and we had a bit disagreement about England. And if you're going to take the history of English football, you have to start in 66. 70, they were unlucky with Gordon Banks. 74, 78, they weren't even there. 82, Trevor Brook and Kevin Keegan both injured. So where should we start? But you have an easy go at Gareth Southgate, don't you?
Wow, you really are defending Gareth Southgate a lot, Jan.
Of course I am. He's the most successful England manager since Sir Ralph Ramsey.
You can't put your friendship with him aside, Jan.
You can start piecing...
Gareth Southgate, I never played with Gareth Southgate. But I still think this thing that English football fans just forget that they haven't won anything since 1966, and because they do two good corners, that's not good enough for them.
Well, listen, you just worry about Norway.
I like Jan. I want Jan as my lawyer if I get in trouble.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have Jan as my lawyer.
Me too.
Yeah, he's good.
Me too. Has any England player enhanced their chance of a place on the plane to Germany? Gordon, maybe?
Oh, good question.
Yeah. Yes, yes, Dan. That's right. I don't know. You pay more attention to England than anybody.
Right.
He's got more chance. He's got more chance today in going into depth about the positives and negatives of yogurts.
Oh, yes. Actually, yogurt.
He's got more chance. Yeah, he's faced more in a yogurt than he did in a TV.
What about you? What do you say?
What?
Anyone impress you?
Yogurt.
What flavour would you go for?
Yogurt.
What flavour did you go for, Shaq?
Strawberry was good.
Oh, vanilla.
Classic. Yeah,
vanilla. Don't need any of that fancy stuff.
What, strawberry fancy?
Well, it is.
What a sheltered life you've lived.
Well, it's compared to your vanilla.
What was your question?
I didn't ask it.
Who's on the plane?
Well, hopefully the pilot.
Yes, good. Has anyone
Is
done enough?
A bit of a problem.
Has anyone done enough?
Somebody's put the bulks in, probably.
Yes, good. Yep.
A bit of a worry. I think Gordon has a chance because he's a bit different to what they've got. He's a bit like Doku at City in a sense that he's different. You know, he's more direct and pacey, runs with the ball, a little bit more off the cuff than the likes of Foden and Jack Grealish and others. So yeah, he definitely, not that he was brilliant, but I think his general season could see him. And I'm wondering whether Kobe Mino will, not on today, just as a generalisation, will go in there as a bit of a curveball as a youngster who has a supreme talent but has very little experience at this level.
Frank, what do you think France's weakest part of the team is? Midfield, defence?
I would say defence right now because it used to be strong, but it's like Didier Deschamps is wondering who is the best duo as a centre-back. He tried something else today. In the middle of the park, I would say that we have a list of fantastic players. How they're going to match all together is going to be a question mark, but the talent is there. I mean, when you see the names of the player in the middle of the park in France, that's crazy. So I would say that Didier has to find the right four players to play in as defenders. When he will do so, will be very strong.
Yeah, but isn't the best French centre back at the moment William Saliba?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a real question mark for me. I don't understand why Saliba is not playing all the time. He showed to the world that he's the best defender in the world right now. Well, the best French defender right now playing for a big club. I don't know why he's not playing there. He's absolutely tremendous. He should deserve a chance to show it at that level.
I mean, he's been.
But we have to be honest. That defense today with Pavard and Upamecano, I mean, that is not on the level of a favourite for a tournament.
No.
I mean, Pavard, I would love to play him anytime in my career. Upamecano is so out in the cold at Bayern. He's always in there for a mistake. And that was their pair in the middle of the defence today.
But Ian, when he signed for Inter Milan last summer, he's been absolutely fantastic for Inter Milan as a centre-back. And nobody has, and you can ask any Inter Milan fan, they will say that Pava is a fantastic centre-back. So allow me to question mark a little bit your comment about it, because Pava is a great defender. Is he the best in France? I don't think so. You have much better for me centre-back than him. But that's Didier Deschamps' choice today, especially today. I think he has to rethink that because it didn't work.
Yeah, but doesn't...
Doesn't
Pavard play... And I agree, I've seen him play centre-half many, many times, but doesn't he play more as a back three at Inter? You know, as a right-sided centre-back of a three where, you know, with France, it's a back four. So it's slightly different. But to go back to that point, if you look at you look at William Saliba last year, Arsenal's collapsed, hinged particularly on him being injured. And this season, he has once again been absolutely terrific to this point. I mean, not quite flawless, but close. So it's not just on a whim that he's had a few good games. He arguably is the best defender along with Van Dijk in the Premier League. You know, maybe Man City fans have got something else to say about one or two of theirs. So if you're not playing him and they continue to have these defensive problems, I think Deschamps is leaving himself open to a barrage of criticism.
Musiala or Wirtz, Jan?
Wow.
Both.
What a question is
both.
That? You have to say both. I mean,
no,
it's fantastic to look at. Not a lot. Who would I?
Southgate.
At the moment in the Bundesliga, if we were going to name player of the season, Florian Wirtz will be ahead. But I mean, how can you? I mean, they will be fantastic. They are fantastic. And I like the way Julian Nagelsmann now just starts with his starting 11. He picks the two of them in some kind of position. And then he builds around the midfield players with Kroos, with Andrić, with Gundogan around them just to let him flourish. I love that. And that is a... Wow, that was a choice, Dan.
I think Florian Wirtz is a great talent, having a great season. But I think... Musiala is the more talented of the two, I think.
How would Florian Wirtz fit into this Bayern system in case he decides to join them, Jan?
Well, that is a big thing now that everybody will try to link him to Bayern. But I don't think that he will go to Bayern. I think that he will do the same as Alonso. He will stay for another season, play Champions League for Leverkusen. And why should he move inside Germany? I think this new generation of players, they don't do that the past players have done. I think they will go straight abroad, either to England or to Real Madrid or to Barcelona.
Is Southgate getting the Bayern job, Jan?
Oh. Okay.
I am not sure.
For former internationals, how hard is it to find motivation when playing in an international friendly?
Ooh.
Do players even enjoy it?
No.
Not at all, never?
Yeah, well, not really.
Even when you were young,
you ever played Australia on a soaking wet night in Glasgow?
But you're still representing Scotland, one of your dreams,
a third of the stadium, maybe more, is empty.
But surely there must have been excitement there initially, and it's just diluted.
If you're playing in a friendly, correct.
Okay.
If you're playing in a friendly and you're a debutant, or you've only got two or three caps or five caps, whatever it is, that's different. If you're a little bit rougher around the edges and you've seen a few more movies, none of the more experienced guys really want to play in these games. Now, maybe the English boys did here and the Brazilian boys did, because it's, you know, that was a relatively big matchup. But managers don't want you to play, really, and we've seen Kyle Walker go off.
Yeah.
So see what the prognosis is there. And I know when we were playing some of those games at Hampden and other places, you were like, oh my, even the training, like, you know, there's not enough seriousness within the camp.
Right.
As much as a manager wants to, you know, particularly that Scotland camp, you've got McCoist and all the boys turning up and
being silly, not taking it seriously.
They're having a giggle and it's a friendly and not taking it serious.
Mm-hmm. For me, it depends. If it's a friendly...
It's a free trip to Trinidad.
If it's a friendly just before going into a big game or big tournament, I think it takes on more meaning, because now you're trying to fine-tune things or build a relationship with your back four, in my case, or whatever it may be. But oftentimes you have these kind of friendlies just because it's an international window and you had to utilize it, particularly back in our day before the Nations Leagues, etc. Those were tough. Those didn't make much sense.
But I think that... I understand what Craig is saying, but I still think, at least for me, when we played for Norway, there was no chance that we will get any trophies for Norway. So the precious trophy for me as a football player was my caps. So I knew that I would never win anything with Norway. So we qualified in 94. We were very close in 96. But still, those caps were precious for me. So I can only speak for myself. I loved every national game. I think that was highlights of my career, playing those national games.
Frank?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I fought against Stevie like 2 days ago in the show, where for me, it doesn't exist friendly games when you play for your country. And I always thought that I had to win to make sure that I will make people very proud of their country and the shirt that I was wearing. So I never thought, I never went to a game thinking, oh, it's a friendly, I pay for friends. How many people would have loved to play instead of me? I mean, that's something that I took in my thinking, and that I always thought, you know, I have to make sure that I give 100% for my country, whether it's a friendly or not. It's only one time when we play in Chile, we had to go there and we lost 2-1. I was so ashamed of the performance that we had because, yeah, we didn't care, and we didn't lift the pride that we should have left. Of our country. It was a shame, and I never felt good about that. So I always thought that you have no friendlies. And today, I was ashamed about the French performance. You have people coming to the stadium. They want to see France winning. I mean, it's a big game. You play against Germany, it's always a big game, like you play against England, or you can play against Spain or Italy. You want to win because it's the pride of your country that it has at stake. And I've never been soft about that.
Frank, does Mbappe's arrival make the locker room unstable at Real Madrid, as Laporta has claimed?
Well, Laporta will have to say, because he's a Barcelona chairman and he wants to already, anticipate some problems. But I think Kylian Mbappe is a very smart person and will adapt to Real Madrid dressing room. On top of it, he has some allies like Camavinga, Tchouaméni, or Mendy. So it won't be a problem. It will be a plus for sure. He knows how to how to behave. And he arrived in Paris Saint-Germain. They were stars already, and he became the star. So he will give 100%. And I have no issues whatsoever of Mbappe signing and being in a dressing room what he should be, an angel.
Jan, do you think Norway not making the Euros will have an effect on Haaland's chance of winning the Ballon d'Or?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. I mean, if Mbappe will win the Euros, of course, that will influence, or a Bellingham will have a great Euro or whatever. So that there is a lot of advantage in being a Norwegian and have a Norwegian passport. But when it comes to football at the moment, on Friday, I have to tell you, boys, I went to the stadium and watched Norway play Czech Republic in our stadium, in a humpy-bumpy home ground of Norway. 1-0 up, and we lost 2-1. It was sad. If you think France was sad today, Frank, I mean, this was Beethoven for 24 hours on Friday.
Don't worry, Shaka, I think, wins the prize for the worst international team.
Today?
Just in general.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue that. It was bad.
Yeah, but... But you play against Canada, Shaka. Don't forget that Canada were my favourites for the World Cup, so
that's right, we lost to France's favourites.
What was it you said before the game started, or the game had just started? He says, This side barely gets over the halfway line.
It wasn't positive.
It wasn't.
We are done. That is it. Ooh, thank you very much, ESPN SC. We'll be back on your screens tomorrow. Thanks, as always, for your questions. I'm waiting for things to come up to say that ESPN SC will be back tomorrow, and then we can go on.
Just say it.
There it is.
There you go. Just say it.
All right.
Everybody knows.